so good to see you, and so good to see all of you online as well. We want to make sure that you know really what's going on around. We're in the middle of a series, the Book of John. This is actually the second summer. We're sort of in the middle of it. Last week, Pastor Clark did such an incredible job of explaining chapter 8, especially how Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." What an incredible Sunday we had last week. Today, I want to tell you, I'm going to be ministering a message today, and I don't have any sermon points. You know, point one, two, I don't have any. I don't want this to be a pointless sermon, though. I want it to matter. The reason I don't have any points is because chapter 9 is one story, and I just want the story to tell the story. It's better than me trying to make points. Why don't we just tell the story and let God make whatever point He wants to make in your heart, okay? Because there are a lot of things that you get from this incredible story. There are so many truths that are built into this story. It's my favorite story from the book of John, and I was glad it sort of fell on me to be able to preach this one. This is the story of what was called the man born blind. An incredible story. It covers a lot of things, and it even starts at a really good thing. It starts in a way, it tries to speak to a problem that we have even today. I hear people say these things all the time, like, why does God allow suffering? Why does He allow suffering? There are people that walk away from God because they can't figure out why God allows suffering. I mean, think about it. I don't like suffering, especially suffering of innocent people or children or little babies. This guy was born blind, we're going to be talking about. He was born blind. And so Jesus was confronted with this. So we're going to begin John chapter 9, verses 1 through 3. Look at this. As Jesus was walking along, He saw a man who had been blind from birth. Rabbi, His disciples asked Him, why was this man born blind? Was it because of his own sins or his parents' sins? It was not because of his sins or his parents' sins, Jesus said. This happened so the power of God could be seen in him. These disciples, Jewish boys, grew up and they had been taught through their upbringing, of course, by the Pharisees, that trouble and sin and hurt and injury and disease and handicaps and all these things are all linked together. Human suffering is a result of human sin. Now, Jesus didn't deny that. Human suffering is a result of sin coming into the world in the Garden of Eden. It's been here ever since. Jesus knows that we live in a world where we don't expect God to do everything, that everything just works out right like some kind of Hallmark movie. It's not how the world is. It's not how the world is at all. We live in a fallen world. We live in a broken world. From Genesis to Revelation, the Scripture makes it very, very plain that we live in a broken, fragmented world, a world that isn't what it once was before sin came, and it isn't yet what it's going to be in eternity. We're in the middle where we live in a broken world. While we're here, we have to be affected by a broken world. All kinds of things, whatever that is, it's something that humanity brought into the world, but we have to deal with it in our world. Everybody is affected by the introduction of sin in our world. Everybody is affected by the brokenness of our world. Now, some people think they've escaped because when they were born, they weren't born with a handicap or a disease or whatever. But the truth is, we all have handicaps. We all have spiritual, at least, diseases, even if our body's doing fine. You know, someone once said, if you look at an Olympic athlete, you know, the perfect, I'm not one of those, but the perfect Olympic athlete, you're still, even though you're looking at this incredible body, you're still looking at the result of a broken world, because that body won't last forever. Humanity everywhere reflects the fall of the world at the Garden of Eden. Jesus said, in the world you will have tribulations. You will have troubles. But Jesus makes it clear that not every trouble you see, not every handicap, not every disease, not every sickness you see is somehow specifically because somebody did some little something wrong and God is inflicting that as punishment. That Jesus said that's not true. That's not true at all. Now, sometimes it is. I mean, sometimes people make mistakes that cause sicknesses, or they live deliberately unhealthy lifestyles that bring on something or whatever. Yes, sometimes that may be true. But he was saying in the case of this guy that we're talking about, that was not true at all. It wasn't this man's fault that he was born blind. It was not. I mean, how could it be his fault? If he was born blind, he didn't have a chance to sin. You know, he didn't have a chance to cause something to happen. That's why, for instance, Hinduism says that if you're born with trouble, it's because in your past life you lived badly. But if you're born in a rich family and all is well, that means that you lived a good life. They believe in this thing called reincarnation, that if you live a nice life, you get rewarded for it later. Well, that reincarnation, karma and all that stuff, that is not a biblical perspective. Not at all. But sometimes it seeps into our thinking. And it even did that into the Jewish leaders. Did you know the disciples were probably thinking about one of the rabbinical teachings, that's a teaching of a rabbi, a Jewish rabbi, in their day, that said that a baby could sin as an embryo in the mother's womb. A baby didn't explain how, but they could. And if a baby is born with any kind of a handicap or defect, it's because that baby sinned in the womb. That's what they taught. Although most of them said, oh, the reason children are born with problems is because of their parents' sin. You know what it is? It's always you got to find somebody to blame. Always got to find somebody to blame. Satan is so good at playing that game with everybody. Find somebody to blame. Hey, look, we live in that same world. Just watch the news. Just watch politicians. There's always got to be a blame. Always got to be a blame. Somebody to blame. Somebody to blame it on. Sometimes somebody to assign blame. And often God gets the blame. Often a perfect, holy God gets all the blame. That's what happens. Somebody said recently that if you spend all of your life looking at God saying, why? Pretty soon you'll be going, why? You'll be angry at him because you put all the blame on him. That might be what the disciples were thinking. That's why they asked Jesus this question. Why was this man born blind? Why? Was it his or his parents' sin? So why Jesus said no, so why was it true? Look what Jesus said. So the power of God could be seen in him. You know, as Jesus' eyes fell on that blind man, immediately he got this message from the Father that said, it's time to set him free from his blindness. This is his time. And Jesus, knowing that the cross was down the road and crucifixion was real soon, he didn't have a whole lot of time on this earth. Jesus said, I'm going to go in and do it right now. I'm just going to make this work. I am going to restore this man's sight to him, sight that he's never had. Remember, the Bible said, I only do what I see my Father doing. So Jesus saw this man and saw the Father saying, heal him. And so he said, I'm going to do it. So Jesus heals the man. It was a sense of urgency in him. He healed him right there on the spot. You know, it's amazing to me. Jesus didn't see this blind man and think, whose sin was it? He didn't see it as a disaster. He saw it as an opportunity. He saw it as an opportunity. He said, you know what I'm going to do? I am going to show the world the goodness and kindness of God. I'm going to show them what kind of God we have. I'm going to free this man. And so Jesus did that with a motivation of caring about him. He was going to take him out of his darkness into light, as Pastor Clark talked about last week. So let's read how it happened, okay? Let's read. Then he spit on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud over the blind man's eyes. He told him, go wash yourself in the pool of Siloam. Siloam means sent. So the man went and washed and came back seeing. I love this. You know, I'm surprised that there's not a denomination called the mud pack on the eye denomination. That they come in every week and they do mud on people's eyes. I'm surprised at that. But John wastes no words in describing this incredible miracle. He says it as briefly as possible. He said the man went and washed, came back, he could see. He had a mud pack on his eyes, went and washed it off, came back, and he could see. Now, let me tell you why John just said it like it was. Because that's how it happened. And John said there's something more here, something much more than just a man being blind that was healed. It's not just about the miracle. There was something a lot deeper that John was trying to tell us about. John points out unusual things about Jesus' healing that day. This is a very unusual healing of Jesus. Usually, Jesus laid his hand on someone and healed them. But in this case, he did something else. He spit in the dirt, made a little mud pie. Then he took the mud pie, stuck it on his eyes, and told him to walk across town. By the way, Siloam, from where they were, the pool of Siloam was all the way across the city of Jerusalem. He had to walk all the way across there and wash and be healed. He never told anybody to do that. He never said somebody, I'll heal you if you'll do this, this, and this, and this. He never did that. Only once, this one. Jesus made clay out of spit. You know, there's something symbolic about clay in Scripture. In Genesis, God created Adam from the clay of the earth. In Jeremiah, God was the potter with the clay who with his own hands formed mankind. In Corinthians, we read that we are broken pots, fragile, cracked, broken pots that God has said, I want to place my spirit inside of those broken pots. God has chosen to put his presence in people that are not perfect. That's amazing. That's amazing. People look at that blind man and said, oh, he's imperfect. He's handicapped. He's something's wrong with him. And God is saying, look, I love to get involved with people whose lives are messed up. I love to get involved with clay pots that are broken and are fragile. That's true. But remember, the Bible says he's the potter that knows how to repair a broken pot. He's the only one that can. Clay is not a real sturdy thing. It's very fragile. When I was a kid, we used to play like we were Indians, and we'd go down and we'd make mud and clay pots and come back and put them in my mother's oven to try to make little pots out of them, and Mom didn't know it. It was not a pretty scene, but we did that, you know, and honestly, you'd get it out and say, look, and you'd pick it up and it would fall apart or whatever. That's exactly what humanity is like. The weakness of humanity is like a broken pot, the Bible says. And Jesus was going to heal this man by saying, I'm going to recreate you like you were created in the beginning. And he put clay on his eyes and said, no, go wash it off and watch. I'm going to redo. I'm going to reform. I'm going to change what the world had taken away from him. When the Lord smeared clay over this man's eyes, he's showing there's something more than just a man who was blind. It was not just his physical sight. It was his spiritual sight that Jesus was restoring as well. And you're going to see that. Look, when he sent him on this, can you imagine, a blind man, he says, go to the pool of Siloam and wash off. He's got mud on his eyes, and he has to stumble and walk through a city all the way to the pool of Siloam. And when he got there and he washed, when he got there by obeying what God said, obeyed Jesus, he washed and he was healed. I mean, he could have sat there and said, this is so stupid. Why are you asking me to do that? That's a long way. Somebody carry me. We would say around here, somebody tote me over there. But his obedience to Jesus, it was Jesus' way of saying, this guy is willing to obey me and go through that. And this is what God's going to do. I'm not only going to heal his physical eyes, I am going, by his choosing to obey me, I am going to heal his spiritual blindness as well. That's not the end of the incredible story, though. This is just a part of it. When he got healed, and people noticed this blind man was healed, man, it's caused a stir. It caused quite a buzz. People are going, is that who we think it is? Wasn't that the guy who was blind? No, he just looks like him. He probably has a twin brother or something. No, it is him. They'd go, is it him? And he'd say, look, it's me. Yes, it's me. It's me. It's me. Look at what the scripture says in verse 10. They ask, who healed you? What happened? And he told them, well, the man they called Jesus made mud, spread it over my eyes, and told me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash yourself. So I went and washed, and now I can see. Where is he now, they ask. I don't know. I love this guy. This guy's just telling a story. Just telling a story. Hey, notice, Jesus, he's never seen Jesus. Still hadn't seen him. He's only heard his voice. He just said, well, this is what happened. This man named Jesus, he remembered his name, but he had never set eyes upon him yet. He didn't know anything other than he told him to do something, and he obeyed it. Well, then what happened was the people that had asked him this question said, we're going to take you to the Pharisees. We're going to take you to the religious leaders because this is some incredible thing. We need an explanation of how this happened. So they take the man to the Pharisees. Here's what it says in verse 13. They took the man who had been blind to the Pharisees because it was on the Sabbath that Jesus had made the mud and healed him. The Pharisees asked the man all about it, and he told them, put mud over my eyes, and when I washed it away, I could see. I love this guy. He's just telling a story. And he's just saying, this is the way it was. I love it when he tells the story. And it says, some of the Pharisees said, this man Jesus is not from God, for he's working on the Sabbath. Others said, but how could an ordinary sinner do miraculous signs? So there was deep division. All right. There was a stir, and now there was an argument. Was this guy, Jesus, from God or not? I love it. This is resistance developing, for sure. Jesus has sort of run afoul of their rules. The Pharisees had the dumbest rules. Let me tell you, Jesus, according to them, Jesus broke three rules, so he couldn't be from God. He has to be a sinner because he broke three rules. Here were the three rules. Rule number one, he spit on the ground and made mud on the Sabbath. That's called working. Now, he could, according to the Jewish law, you could spit on a rock, but don't spit in the mud, because if you spit on a rock, it'll just evaporate. But if you spit in the mud, you can work and make a little brick out of it. So that's working on the Sabbath, and that's against the Lord. Here's the second thing. You're forbidden to heal on the Sabbath. You couldn't go to a doctor on the Sabbath, and you... This is what the Jewish, the Pharisee law said. If you find somebody with a broken leg, you can keep it from getting worse, but you can't make it any better on the Sabbath. Here's the other one. This is the best one. The third thing Jesus did wrong was he spit. There's a specific instruction in rabbinical literature that says, spit can be used as medicine, and on the Sabbath, you can't spit and put it on anybody because that's medicine. And they said, because Jesus did all three of those things, he is a wicked, evil man who broke the Sabbath. Therefore, he could not have healed this man. So with these stupid regulations, they surrounded the Sabbath day with so many regulations, you couldn't even breathe without breaking the Sabbath law. That was their excuse to say, Jesus couldn't have done it. He is not from God. How can he be from God? He doesn't keep the rules, our rules. He doesn't keep our rules. Some Pharisees, though, were a little bit more cautious, going, my gosh, he was doing good things. I mean, doesn't it look like maybe God was approving of him or something? But they just kept arguing and arguing. So they finally pulled the man aside and said, the blind man, the formerly blind man, and said, well, what's your opinion? What's your opinion of Jesus? What's your opinion of the man who healed you? He goes, oh, maybe he was a prophet. Maybe he was a prophet. And they said, oh, no, you are so, you know, I don't even believe you were blind in the first place. You were just faking it, trying to make it look like you were blind. You were faking it. So they said, let's get his parents and find out the truth. So they go find his parents, and they bring his parents in, and they say, is this your son? Yes. Was your son born blind? And is he seeing now? And they said, well, he was born blind, and you can ask him yourself if he's seeing, because he's old enough to answer for himself. The truth was, the Bible says this, they were scared the Pharisees were going to throw them out of the synagogue, would not let them go to synagogue anymore if they agreed that Jesus did it. So they just sort of said, son, tell them whatever you want to tell them. We're out of here, and they're gone. They didn't want to be involved in it. And that's amazing. That's amazing. They would rather call it a hoax than to admit a man born blind can see now. You know what? It got a little worse than that. Look at this. The Pharisees pulled the man in one more time. John chapter 9, 24, and said, for the second time they called the man in who had been born blind and said, God should get the glory of this because we know this man Jesus is a sinner. And the man born blind, who was getting braver and braver, said, well, I don't know whether he's a sinner, but I know this. I was blind and now I can see. I love it. He pinned him to the wall, didn't he? It was incredible. It was incredible. He just told the truth. There he goes, just telling his story. Just telling the truth. The blind man just told his story and told what Jesus had done for him. I'm going to pause here. Christians, listen carefully. Believers, listen. Sometimes we find it difficult to tell people about Jesus. To witness to somebody, to just give a good word about the Lord. And you know why we do? We're afraid. We're afraid like his parents. We were afraid that we don't know enough scripture. We don't know. We might get in a theological discussion. We might get asked a question we can't answer or whatever. And so we just shut our mouths and don't tell what the Lord has done for us. Let's learn a lesson from the man born blind. Let's learn a lesson from this man and just tell the story. Just tell your story. We have an incredible life group here called The Story I Tell. And I was a part of it for a little bit. And I want to tell you, it's an incredible group. I hope we bring it back. Daniel, Dana, I hope we bring this back. It was an incredible thing. People just said, well, this is my story. And it was a story of brokenness. It was a story of spiritual blindness. It was a story just like this story. And it said, but Jesus came. But Jesus came. And, I mean, it left everybody in tears every week. Just leaving people saying, amazing what God did. So, Christians, tell your story. Don't be afraid. Tell your story. Now, the religious leaders kept interrogating this man. After calling it a hoax, they were interrogating him over and over. And they said, how did he do it? Tell me how he did it. Losing my voice here. Tell me how he did it. And the man goes, look, I've already told you once, and you didn't believe me. Do you want me to tell you again? Do you want to become one of his disciples? And they went, ah! They flipped out, and the Bible says, John 9:28 says, they cursed him and said, you are his disciple. We're disciples of Moses. We know God spoke to Moses, but we don't even know where this man, Jesus, comes from. And they set him up for the best one of all. All of a sudden, the man born blind that everybody thought was handicapped and dumb and everything else, this man born blind suddenly got the revelation of God, and he lit into them like nobody's business. This is what he said. Why, that's very strange, the man replied. He healed my eyes, and yet you don't know where he comes from. We know that God doesn't listen to sinners, but he's ready to hear those who worship him and those who do his will. Ever since the world began, no one has been able to open up the eyes of someone born blind. If this man were not from God, he couldn't have done it. Oh my, whoa! Whoa! This guy suddenly got brave and told the story big time. Put the Pharisees had all these rules. Jesus broke the rules and he said, well, he wasn't from God. Well, how did he do it then? You tell me, Pharisees, how he did it. Boy, were they mad. Boy, were they mad. Well, this isn't the end of the story either. Pharisees couldn't be happy because a man got healed. They had to find fault with it. They had to blame somebody. But this wasn't the end of the story. You know, I told you, he had never seen Jesus. The man born blind had never seen Jesus, ever. He just heard his voice. The Bible says Jesus looked for him. Later on, after all the commotion died down, Jesus snuck around and tried to find him. And when he found him, he went up to him and said, do you believe in the Son of Man? Now, when he said, do you believe in the Son of Man, that meant, do you believe the Son of Man was, in the Old Testament, was the Messiah that was going to be coming from God? Do you believe the Messiah is coming from God? Do you believe there's one coming? And this is what the man said. The man said, yes, show me who it is and I'll believe in him. And this is what Jesus said. You've seen him, Jesus said, and he's speaking to you. Yep, I'm the one. And look at his response. Yes, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped Jesus. Man, this guy worshiped Jesus and knew who he was. The Pharisees had no idea. This guy knew who he was. Did you know that in the scripture, there's only two times in Jesus' life on earth that the Bible says someone worshiped him. The first were the shepherds at the manger. The Bible says they worshiped him. Isn't that amazing? No good, low-rated shepherds, nobodies, knew who he was and worshiped him. And the second time was this guy, a man born blind, cursed by the Pharisees. Everybody said he had sinned in his mother's womb, an outcast, and yet he worshiped Jesus because he knew who Jesus was. looks to me like Jesus healed something more than a man's blind eyes, didn't he? It healed more than a blind eye. It healed spiritual blindness as well. The Pharisees ran off spiritually blind, and they're still spiritually blind. But this man met Jesus and was healed of spiritual blindness. Jesus closed the whole conversation by telling his disciples this. He said, I came into the world to heal the blind men and to take people who think they can see and show them that they're blind. There was a British poet back in the 1500s, back a few years before I was born. And this poet, he was the guy that came up with things we say all the time. He's the guy that came up with little phrases like out of sight, out of mind. He was the British poet that came up with the one, don't put the cart before the horse. He's the guy that came up with beggars can't be choosers. You know those little sayings? Well, he read this story, and he added this saying to his group of sayings. There are none so blind as those who refuse to see. Isn't that true? There's no blindness like blindness that you choose to have. You know, I mentioned earlier about pottery. We all, the Bible says, we're like fragile, broken pottery. And yet God has said, I want to live inside you. I want to live inside you. And when I live inside you, I want to repair the broken pottery. And we're going, God, I don't know if you can do that or not. I don't know. I think I'm going to be the way I am. I'm going to be spiritually blind all my life. I'm gonna have a lot of problems I'll never deal with or whatever. God said, No. I want to repair it all. I want to come and live inside of you and help you learn how to live and trust me to be a different person. We wonder, can God do that? There is a Japanese art. They take broken porcelain and broken pottery. And the way they repair it in Japan, it's called kintsugi. They take the pieces and they put them together with gold. Pure gold becomes what they put it together. There's one. That was a broken pot and it has been repaired with gold. And do you know when they take a broken piece of porcelain or pottery and repair it with gold, it makes the value of it increase. And increase. And no longer is the pot broken. It is worth more than it's ever been. That's what happened to this man. He was a throwaway. He was a beggar that everybody said he was cursed by God because of the sin of the womb. Imagine that. Cursed by God. He had no future. None whatsoever. And he met Jesus one day, and Jesus not only healed his eyes, but he put the broken pottery together, and that man became worth more than all the Pharisees put together. Let me tell you, he had a story to tell, and he's still telling that story because I just told you. He's telling it all over the world, and it's healing a lot of people's spiritual eyes and their physical eyes. That's who Jesus is. John wrote the book of John, the Bible says, so that we may know who Jesus is. This is who he is. He can heal your spiritual blindness. He can take your broken, fragmented pottery, and he can take the gold of forgiveness and love and put you back together and make you something you've never been before. And God can use you in tell your story. On Mother's Day, Suzanne told a story of broken porcelain, a broken life. And she spent, since she met Jesus, she spent the rest of her life telling everybody how the gold came in and made her brand new. And you won't ever quit telling that story. And what happens when she tells that story? People respond. People come to Jesus. Your story is just as powerful. But before you can tell the whole story, you've got to let Jesus put the pieces together. In just a moment, I'm going to have the prayer team come. And they're going to be standing here. And some of you that have broken pieces in your life, things that you don't even understand, you might take the blame for yourself. It might have been your fault. It doesn't really matter. He just wants you to bring the fragmented piece of clay and your own blindness to the altar and let someone pray with you. That's going to happen today. And God is going to do the work that is amazing that only He can do. Our worship team's coming now. I'm going to ask you all to stand if you will. We're going to briefly sing this song. At the end of it, our prayer team's coming. This is your opportunity to get this solved. Okay, so don't leave. Stay with us.